Hey, listeners, we got a great show for you here today on Get Inspired and Innovate. We're going to be talking about making global connections. Stephanie, obviously, we've made some great global connections over, wow, the now, what is it, 2, 3 years? How long have we been doing this now?
I think it's been two
Two?
2019.
Okay,
So,
so almost three now. It'll be
almost
three in
three.
May. Yeah, so. Wow, we've made some great global connections. I mean, just the fact that you and I have been able to connect from, Tennessee to Ohio. Most people probably don't see that as very far, but in the grand scheme of things, I feel like it is. So what has the global connections that you've been able to make, how has that helped you professionally and, in your day-to-day life?
Yeah, so I feel like my global connections didn't really kick off until Innovator. I mean, I was on Twitter and stuff like that, but I wasn't like DMing people and texting them and WhatsApp. I didn't even know what WhatsApp was until I had to talk to some people from the UK, and that's all they use. So I definitely think that the Innovator program allowed me to broaden those horizons. I'm so thankful that I got into the Australia Innovator Academy because it made me realize how big the world really is. By having to travel outside of the States and go down to Australia, I mean, just meeting Leslie, Maria, Tracy, all of those lovely, lovely Australians and our New Zealand friends as well, made me understand education a little bit different. And it was just such a wide range as well. I learned time zones from them, or I'm still, I don't think I learned them. I
Yeah,
think I'm still
I was fixing to say,
struggling.
have you learned time zones, really?
No, I teach everyone they have to convert to me.
Oh, that's true. You do.
But I think just having that experience made me realize, oh, I really can connect with people outside of Ohio or outside of my school district. And they have a lot to offer, and I have a lot to offer to them. And so it was kind of that give back and forth relationship. I also think, too, they're like the Saturday teachers, as John Crippa likes to call them. They're the ones that are wanting to learn outside of the workday. They're the ones that are working on school, thinking, brainstorming. And so it was just wonderful during COVID to have a resource that people were on 24/7, because they were in different time zones. But also, if they were off, they were willing to chat about school. Where I know, like, sometimes in my school district or even just in Ohio, people are like, I only work 7 to 3 or whatever the school day is in their area. And so it makes it hard to sometimes collaborate with people because they think I'm crazy. Where these people, they're crazy too. Lance.
Well, I will say though, but don't call you after like 8 p.m. because you're gonna be in the bed,
That's
which
true.
is 7 p.m. my time, by the way. So Stephanie likes to collaborate when it's convenient for her, but that's okay. And what I will tell you, everything Stephanie said was exactly correct. It really helped us tremendously here in the States. The biggest thing though that it helped me with was I realized that there was a cultural difference from Tennessee, let's say, to California, here in the United States. So obviously our friend Paige and I, we don't see things eye to eye all the time. That's okay. I knew that. It's okay. And I knew there was a cultural difference even from me here in Tennessee, up to Kyle in Baltimore. It's okay. It's a little different. But then when you start traveling the world, when we went to Australia, and we saw the how loving and kind those people were there. And they just took us in. I mean, they really did. I felt like they were more my people than even people here in the States. I don't know. I mean, I'm sorry, Stephanie. They just took us in and they took care of us. They gave. And I see that more as I'm working with people. When we're working with Mel Varga, and he was over in China. Whatever they had, Adam Hill, he's gracious just to give. So it's allowed me to see the heart of other people kind of outside the United States because, I always felt like the United States, we're good people. we try to take care of people. But then once you get out and you start seeing everybody else, it's just like how kind and nice these people are. And I'm sure our listeners are hearing me saying all this right now. And they're like, who is this guy talking? Because this doesn't sound like the Lance we're used to hearing. But it's true. It is. And, you know, when we needed ideas, when we needed to know what was going on in COVID, because obviously it started over in the China area. What are y'all doing? How are y'all combating this? Everybody was just so willing to share and to give and to, you know, just be there to bounce ideas off of, you know, and I know that I'm not a great programmer, but I've got great ideas and I want to do this. And there's other people out there that I can just throw ideas to. So these global partners have really opened my eyes to see what's out there.
Yeah, and I agree. And I can't wait to talk to today's guest about those global connections that she's made.
Yep. So we have Miss Jules Bentley that's joining us today. She's over in Australia. So those kind, loving folks that I was just talking about. And she was a part of the VIA 20. So welcome to the show, Miss Jules.
Thank you very much. It's lovely to be here. And it was a very good segue talking about how fantastic Australians are and then introducing one.
It is. They are. And I've always told everybody else, you know, that's the one country that I would, if I wasn't living in the United States, that's probably where I would want to go back and live. I just loved it while I was there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. That's so cool. So talk to us about the global connections that you were able to make through the VIA and what it's done for you.
Well, it's interesting. I was making global connections before I really got into Google, but I was using Google Sites as a means of working on a project for the Asia Europe Foundation. I went to Helsinki and pitched a project. And then I had something like 50 odd schools participating from around the world. It was called Postcards from the Edge. And the idea was this: children from around the world would send each other postcards, learn something about each other's culture. And that was fantastic. And this is 2019 while you were doing the Innovator. And I was given, I was awarded a gold award for that project, which was fantastic. That happened in Tokyo in 2019. And then 2020, I ran another project around the Sustainable Development Goals, again using Google Sites, again getting things happening around the world so students had a place to talk. And then COVID hit. And what happened was I had to pivot. I had to not just focus on what I was doing, but also allow the kids who were going into lockdown a place to find strength in one another and support in one another. And that, I think, was the most wonderful thing, because students in Finland and Slovenia were helping students in India. We had students in Korea and in Slovakia. And they were all supporting one another through this really scary time for them. And when it came to the Innovator Academy, I put my hand up for that and was one of the four Australians accepted for VIA 20. And it gave me an opportunity to focus in on sharing and building upon what I've been doing with the Asia Europe Foundation. I started off, mind you, thinking I was going to do a project around writers clubs, because I've had a writers club I've been running for 10 years. And I really believe all schools should have a writers club. I've got kids who come, 40 students, come on a Friday afternoon for 2 hours after school, and they don't want to leave when it comes time to leave. So that was what I thought I was going to do for my Google project, but things change.
Yeah, that's funny. That happened to me while I was there. I think I changed like 3 times while I was there at the Innovator Academy. I will say some people went in headstrong and already, you know, decided what they were going to do and just did it. But, you know,
that's all right. That's not true.
Okay.
That's not true. I feel like, though, I mean, I never really changed. My project stayed pretty consistent. It was just like adding more ideas and more connections, because I was like, I need to reach out to more people to ask if I can use their resources. But I also think from Innovator, it led to more projects.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if that's good or not. So like based on Innovator, you know, we started Global GEG. And then now I have my own LLC, which is Gold EDU, you know? So it's just like, if it wasn't for Innovator, I don't think I would have these other projects, because my old Innovator project, I haven't touched since like the summer. I mean, I still use the work with teachers on building DOK and depth of knowledge, but it's kind of like, oh, that project's done. I need something new.
Yeah. Well, the thing with doing Innovator last year, it was all virtual. So while you had a few days together in Sydney, mm-hmm. we had something like 8 weeks and we'd have meetings. I had Chris Hart as my mentor for our team, Curious Creatures, and he was fantastic. And because we had this great lapse of time between each meeting and we had different things we had to do on the way, it really gave it the opportunity for us to dig quite deep and drill down quite deeply. And I, in lots of ways, I think whilst I missed the face-to-face contact, I actually really enjoyed being able to get to know my team really well, because we spent weeks working together and critiquing each other's work. So for those people who have to work virtually, and we are doing that again for Australia and New Zealand, I think it's the APAC region, it's a good way to go, given the circumstances. But I agree, I think that the project's spin. Next year, I'm launching the Global Google Education Group for Brisbane. So thanks to Leslie Altman, who is fantastic, and Chris Betcher, who is also fantastic. I'm looking forward to that. It'll be a lot of fun.
And I will tell you, one, both of those people are awesome that you did just mention. But two, that's one of the things we actually talked about in our own little groups, is we felt like that even though we were in person, we felt rushed, or at least I felt rushed, and a lot of people I talked to felt rushed. It was get in, let's design, let's get write your notes down. Doesn't matter, nothing is wrong. Just write, and then post a note. You know, throw this away, throw that away. Now, write, and it just felt like everything was rushed. Where it's like, I need some time to internalize. You know, I need some time to think about this for a second. Yes, I was a little jealous about that, that you guys got some time to do that. So talk to us a little bit about your project. What is the goal of it? How are you going about it? How can we get to it? How can we steal from it?
Okay, well, the one thing that I really think is important is that we support one another. Teachers across the world are having to support one another. And even those who are very reticent about using technology are learning to embrace it a lot more. This is, in fact, probably the best opportunity we have and have had for, I don't know, 50 years, 100 years, to actually shift what's happening in the classroom and take education in a direction that it kind of needs to go. The project is called Students Camera Action. You can find it on www.studentscameraaction.com. That takes you to a website, a Google site, and you'll find all of the information about the project. You'll find the nominations, you'll find the guidelines, you'll find a little bit of history about Alex McMillan and I, who's my Google Innovator partner. And you'll also find episode one. Episode two should be up by the end of next month. And the project is around the sustainable development goals. We need to build a sustainable world. And I noticed through my travel that schools around the world are actually introducing as a subject. They're investing in the education of young people to make them more deliberate consumers, to make them more confident advocates, to make them activists, to make a difference, basically. And the idea of the project is that students go into a situation where they choose a sustainable development goal or theme to work around. We arrange for three schools per episode. Each one takes a slightly different view of the topic. And the idea is that they look at what their country is doing, what their locale is doing, what they are doing to make a difference around this particular goal. And in episode one, we have Korea, India, and Australia. And the student in India, Kunan, he had been in lockdown, but was still in lockdown for 18 months. So working in a project where we had face-to-face exchanges with students in Australia, he was working for a global audience. Brian from Korea, the same thing, my students as well. They were looking at working together, collaborating on something meaningful. And that's perhaps the most wonderful part of this. They're learning about culture. They're learning about cultural empathy and sensitivity. They're seeing the similarities, not just the differences. And I think if we expect our students to be global citizens, 21st century citizens, they need to know. And in a world where they can't travel at the moment, they definitely need to be developing these skills, these intelligences, because without them, we're destined to have a very quiet and very siloed life. And life isn't like that. So the students create the 3-minute videos, and I then support them with teaching resources underneath them. So a teacher could use one segment and have a class discussion in homeroom, for example. Or they may be in a religion class and they'll look at sustainable development and look at how that blends with stewardship of the earth. Or they might be in a humanities subject and look at what different countries are doing. But the fact is they're seeing other young people taking the initiative. And the byproduct of this is these students are learning how to film, how to edit, how to script, how to collaborate, how to understand one another and negotiate. And these are the skills that we need for all of our students. So as far as I'm concerned, I think it's a fantastic, mind you, I would, but I see it as a fantastic way for us to engage our students in global connections. And it does spill out, because from this, I've also co-created a group with a wonderful woman, called Wings on Facebook, for women educators from around the world to support each other, so that there are lots of different ways we can make global connections happen. They can come into the classroom, but they can be extracurricular, and they can be personal, because obviously being able to sit back, as Stephanie said, outside of school hours and participate in these collaborations and these groups is only going to inform us and hopefully make us better educators, humble us to some extent, I think.
Yeah, and I think it's so key, like you're teaching them editing skills, and a lot of people are not doing that right now. But that's going to be, I think, expected in the real world when these kids get up there. Like, you don't know how to edit a video, I think you're going to have to just know it. I know I had to teach myself when I got my role of just, even teachers have to learn how to, you know, simple editing. But I think that's going to be a skill that kids are expected to have.
Yeah. Stephanie, you said something important there. It's a key skill that we got to have there.
Liz's project.
Key skills for success.
But I was trying to pass it to you.
Pass it to me there, exactly. But you know, exactly like you said, there are some things that, you know, kids are just going to have to know now when they get to the real world, if they're not in the real world yet. And editing skills, YouTube skills, Photoshop skills. It's just going to be one of those things that in order to market yourself, in order to sell yourself, to get a job, you're going to have to know how to get on a Zoom and how to talk to people. You're going to have to know how to do a WebEx if you have to, or share your screen. And all these skills are just going to be expected that you know them. So, Ms. Jules, I think that it's great that you are teaching these soft skills, as we may call them, the behind-the-scenes skills that you're just going to need for everyday life coming up.
I think the other thing that I'm loving is the fact that, I mean, I'm also an Adobe AEL and the APEC, Adobe Education Leader, for 2020. And having that combination of being able to tie Adobe and Google together, because they feed each other so beautifully. Adobe, when you, for example, use Adobe Spark, that goes directly into Classroom. You know, you can actually use the digital tools meaningfully. And what I've noticed is, prior to doing some of these things, students know how to consume, but they don't know how to create. And people assume that because they're on the computer all the time, that they know these things. They haven't got a clue. So, well, that's not entirely true. That's a bit of a generalization. But generally speaking, most young people get quite scared when their mouse pad doesn't work. So the idea of using Adobe Rush or Adobe Premiere Pro and then making a video and putting it into YouTube is kind of wonderful, because it takes them into a whole realm of skills that they might not otherwise have expected.
I can tell you, I get phone calls from parents all the time, and they're like, well, my kid's a gamer. They know how to do this stuff. And I'm like, No, they know how to turn their gaming system on. And they know how to play games. Some of these other things they do not know. But you brought up a good point, and I want to take a poll right quick. Adobe Spark or yes. Canva? Which one? Because it's a big controversy that I'm in right now.
I don't think, I mean, they are very similar. And I know that Canva and Google are particularly close. They do similar things. I can't come down on one side or the other. I'm so used to using Adobe Spark. That's been my tool. So in terms of what am I most comfortable with, I'd have to say Adobe Spark, because I use the video, I use the Spark page, and I use the graphics. Okay. But I have dabbled in Canva. But I also use Google Slides to make my infographics and my, my drag and drops and whatever. And another one called Grammarly, Genially. Genially is really good too.
All right, yeah. Stephanie, which one do you pick?
I'm a Canva girl.
I knew that was going to be the case.
I do like Adobe, like the video part of Adobe Spark. But if it's not video and it's just like creating a graphic or stealing a background, it's Canva.
For me, I'm Adobe Spark. So, mainly just so you lose, but you know,
I'll do a poll on Twitter.
Do a poll on Twitter, but I'm with Jules here. The pages is what does it for me, because especially the glide show that you can make right there on the page, it just looks awesome. And you know, people look at it and they're like, man, that's all this coding in here.
Got to tell you that I have a fundamentals class, a grade 10 fundamentals class for English. And this obviously means that they have some learning difficulties. I had a student who doesn't actually contribute an awful lot. Not only make Adobe post on the themes of the novel we were looking at, which is The Fault in Our Stars. She then made, contributed to a page. We did a collaborative page. All of a sudden, she was writing and contributing, and she made a short video to go into that. So this is a child who, generally speaking, because she doesn't find writing very easy and finds just getting started hard, was contributing in this wonderful tool. So it's been fantastic in that context. It's just been fabulous. But as I said, being able to blend Adobe and Classroom has been fabulous too. Because that then means you have got that interconnectedness. Mm-hmm. But I promise Stephanie, I will go and have a little look at Canva. A friend of mine is a great advocate. So I will certainly have a look. But I just came second in the Adobe Australia and New Zealand Adobe Education Leader of the Year. So that was a bit of a win. So I have to advocate for Adobe, don't I? Because, you know, it's kind of cool.
We're going to go on to our next segment, which is our meme or quote segment. So, Jules, what meme or quote did you bring this week?
My meme came, I think, from LinkedIn, but it resonated with me. Great leaders are not the best at everything. They find people who are the best at different things and then get them on the same team. And surely that is what we ought to be doing with not only our global connections, but the board, the school leadership need to do the same things too. They need to recognize the skills and embrace them rather than box them. I mean, I'm lucky. I do get a lot of freedom to innovate where I can and to digitize some of the different teaching techniques. But generally speaking, I think most schools will actually not create that sort of team. I think leadership is recognizing the gifts of your staff, using those gifts, drawing them together so you haven't got an anticipated outcome. You want the skills to find new resolutions to old problems.
Yeah, I think that's true. We've got to figure out who is on, like who can be on our team, and we got to find the best team. It's all about collaboration, because I'm not the best at everything, but I have a friend that is. And so getting them on our side to help us, begging, borrowing, or whatever you have to do to get them to help.
Cooking. Yeah.
So mine is leadership is an action, not a position. They're very action focused, and they will do whatever they can to help. And it's not just saying you need to do this or here's a suggestion. It's like walking through with an example. Lance?
So mine comes from John C. Maxwell. I'm a big John C. Maxwell fan. If you guys have never heard of him, it's probably because you're too young. He's an old school leadership guy. But he says the measure of a leader is not the number of people who serve him, but the number of people he serves. So it's really even in leadership, it's about serving. Okay. It's about serving and taking care of others. That's right.
Yeah. And you know, I think the thing about that is also that's cross-cultural. It doesn't matter what religion you observe. Servant leadership is part of that. Certainly, in all, because I'm an RE teacher, that's certainly my observation.
Yeah. And then finally, we're going to talk about something that has been innovating that we can share with others. So what is something that you've learned this week that you can share with someone else, Jules?
I discovered in a very, through my trainer course, I discovered that you can put a footer on a Google Doc. Now, we all know that you can put a contents page in, and that will actually take you down through a document. But if you were to make a footer and use the stylized headings or bookmarks, you can use those and hyperlink back to these points in the document so that anywhere, if it's a 12-page document and you want to go back to Appendix 1, you go to your footer, hit Appendix 1, it takes you directly to Appendix 1. Now, I didn't know that Google Docs allowed me to do that. So, frankly, that is probably one of the most exciting, because I have to mark lots of quite lengthy papers. So, and it means my students know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. They take some more control over what they're doing. And again, it's a skill they can take out into the world.
Yeah, that's so true. So my share this week is vocabulary ideas. So I was listening to a podcast. It was Teaching Middle School ELA, and I just love their podcast. And they were talking about vocab ideas, and this is a struggle for a lot of our students. They don't know a whole lot of vocab words, or they struggle with comprehension because they're lacking vocab. And so I just made a quick like recap video and slide deck for my teachers just on different strategies that they shared. So as I was listening, it was like one of those episodes where you have to do it. So I was like listening, pausing, and then I was creating those slides. So those are available in the show notes. Lance.
All right. So mine this week is what's called OpenStax. And it is a free educational resource. And I've got the site open here, but they've got like all kinds of different math classes here, science classes, social sciences, social studies classes, all kinds of free textbooks that are here. Okay. And they're kind of digital textbooks. So some of these I've taken, such as the science books here. We were needing a physics book the other day. So we came and we found a physics book, and we were able to go in, and because it is an OER resource, we were able to go in and use part of that. And if you just want it to be static, you can just download the whole PDF from right here, and it will take you right into the textbook. But you can see here's all the units. It even has quizzes and everything built in right there. So a lot of times we're always looking for supplemental content. I don't know that I would use this as your primary resource, but if you're needing to go and pull stuff, as you can see, like you're on friction, you could go in here and click on friction. And here is everything that you would ever want to know. All of these formulas that Stephanie has no clue what they are on friction. Okay. So that's my share this week. It's a great resource. I suggest our listeners check it out.
Actually, I will.
Go ahead.
If it's okay with you, I'll share the slide deck I created for Google Docs, and it takes you through how to go about putting the footnotes in and how to use
we can
them.
Add it to the show notes. That'd be great.
Cool.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening to Get Inspired and Innovate this week. Jules, how can people connect with you?
They can find me on Twitter at Bentley Juliet. They can contact me through www.studentscameraaction.com. I'm also on LinkedIn, and you can always get me through the Adobe Education Exchange as well.
Yeah, so make sure you grow in your global connections and reach out to Jules or Lance and I. We would love to connect with you and just grow our PLN and figure out how we can help each other, because it is a team effort. Everyone's got strengths and weaknesses, and we've got to learn how to leverage those. So again, thank you for listening. All of the show notes and links and everything like that will be on our website at getinspiredandinnovate.com.